fighting for America.
You put a Democrat in the office of governor of Idaho, and things will change within 90 days.
Well, yeah, we'll all be worse off, Steve.
Hold on.
Fighting for Idaho.
By the way,
what part of socialism? What part of socialism is not utter part of?
You know, this is such an optimistic. This is such an optimistic
healthcare.
Tom,
he gave his
Tom
core.
Fighting for you.
Gun-toting Pat, what do you have to say here? Hopefully, it's more. Here, hold on. You have to speak into the microphone.
I said if BS was concrete, you'd be a superhighway.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Ebola in the news. What about Idaho? Joining us now to discuss is Dr. Christine Hahn with the very latest. Dr. Hahn, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Is this a rite of passage, or is this something that we should be more concerned about? A few years ago, it was West Nile. A few years ago, it was something else. And now Ebola has captured everybody's attention. Deaths piling up. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is something we do need to watch carefully. I think in Texas, they are going to get this under control. We just heard the bad news this morning that a second nurse in Texas is now confirmed to have Ebola, but they have quickly got her in isolation within 90 minutes of her fever going up. I think Texas has now got this in hand. Nonetheless, we need to watch this carefully, and it's certainly not over yet.
You know, most of us, when we go to the hospital, we think that the doctors and the nurses, their knowledge is absolute. But they are human. They do make mistakes. Were you surprised that we've got healthcare workers in this country contracting Ebola?
You know, I think you're absolutely right. Our healthcare professionals, our nurses, are so knowledgeable, and our folks in the hospital are doing everything they can to protect themselves. But Ebola is new and it is different, so we don't have that type of experience that we have now gained from years and years of working with, you know, our bugs that we're used to, flu and you know, staph and strep and the organisms that we're used to dealing with. This is different, and we have a sharp learning curve. But I'm confident we will get there very, very quickly.
Well, are you concerned about, just again, the CDC and these teams? Now, apparently, they're going to send another team to Texas to help this hospital to deal with Ebola. And, you know, again, as you said, we're learning on the fly here, which is okay if you're in college, but not so great if you're dealing with a deadly disease.
You're right. This is not where any of us would want to be. That is for sure. And Dr. Frieden, the director of the CDC, said as much yesterday in his press conference. He said, I wish we had sent that team right away to assist the hospital. I think what I'm hoping, of course, is that Texas is the only place we have to learn these lessons, and that I can tell you those of us in Idaho, including myself, people at the hospitals here, I'm talking with them every day. They are watching this very carefully. They are ordering supplies. They are training up. I think we have a ways to go, but I think we will be in a better position than Texas was because we have the advantage of learning from what's happening there.
Right. Always the second time around or the second coat of paint is better than the first. But Dr. Hahn, for people that, you know, were focused on the Broncos, were focused on the debate last night, and maybe we have to get on a plane, we're worried about kids in school. How does this virus work, ma'am?
Yeah, this virus is something that we are learning a lot about. But what we know about this virus is it can spread bloodborne. So we think about things like hepatitis or HIV that we all know you can get from a needle stick. So we've learned how to prevent those, you know, infections in the community. We know that it's okay to hug somebody or shake their hand. That's not the problem. It's needle stick. It's really close contact. This virus is different, as I mentioned, because it can be excreted in sweat and urine and saliva and things that we're not used to thinking about with a bloodborne disease. But fortunately for those of us in Idaho, the good news is we don't have Ebola here. Right now, all we need to do is keep an ear to the news. I appreciate your efforts and other efforts to educate the public. Right now, our healthcare workers are the ones that are getting on the ball now to catch up, to watch what's happening in Texas and get ready so that if we ever have somebody get off the plane, we are ready to handle this and we don't have to worry about our kids in school or getting on an airplane.
Now, and again, I'm not an epidemiologist and I can't even pronounce the word, but I got to hit you with this one. I was watching a news report, and the differences between AIDS and HIV and Ebola is the amount of, I guess, particles or something in the blood. There's a lot more, millions or billions, compared to just millions or thousands in the blood of HIV and AIDS patients. That's how, I guess, it spreads so quickly.
Yeah, I think, again, it's something we're just learning about, this Ebola virus. They are looking at the amount of the virus that's in the blood. Again, I think for most people, what they worry about, like family members in what we're seeing in Africa, is that it's actually, you know, in the vomit and the sweat and just that things that people get exposed to, not so much necessarily the blood. It's in all these other secretions and fluids, and that's why it's so important that people get into hospital in isolation right away. And that's what, as you saw, they're doing in Texas. I mean, 90 minutes, that's got to be some record to get people immediately isolated into proper care so that they don't expose other people.
Is there a difference between, oh, I have a fever, the regular flu, and the Ebola flu or the Ebola fever?
You know, not really. That's why it got missed in Texas, frankly. You know, the symptoms aren't specific. Nobody's going to walk in and a physical exam or a quick look is not going to tell you what the person has. They might have the regular, you know, some type of influenza virus. If they just have fever and a headache, they might have a stomach situation. There's no way to tell just by a quick. It's really just a specialized testing that'll tell you.
Now, we talk about Ebola and others, Dr. Hahn, here at 580 KIDO, but, you know, we also have two folks in Idaho that have recently died of the flu.
Right, exactly. We want to stay informed. Ebola is new. We want to stay informed about it. But we have already had two people die of influenza. Flu season is starting, and we are trying to remind people that here's a disease you can do something about. I had my shots just last weekend with my kiddos. We all traipsed down. They actually get the spray now. They love it because it's not even a shot.
You make it sound like fun.
Yeah, we all go and then we go to lunch, so we make it a day. But please don't forget that here's a disease you can do something about that also can be deadly.
Now, there's another disease going on concerning young children, and I know a lot of parents listening at 580KIDO are concerned about this virus that's name I can't even pronounce.
Mm-hmm. The enterovirus, and the full name is enterovirus D68. This is another concern. It really seems like it's a lot of viruses that we're thinking about these days. Enterovirus, we know we have it in Idaho. It's a respiratory virus, and it's something that we know has been circulating in the United States for a long time. They've been tracking this virus for many years. But for some reason that we don't understand, it seems to have increased this year. The good news is what I'm hearing talking to doctors in Idaho is they think that it is declining. So we're hopeful that this is going to fade away for this year. But this is a disease that I'm sure there's a lot of interest now, and hopefully eventually we'll have a vaccine for this. For right now, parents need to just be aware, especially if your child has asthma, you know, continue to really keep them safe as best you can. Get their flu shot for them. Keep them as healthy as possible. Teach them to wash their hands and stay away from others who are sick.
Dr. Hahn, what about this Ebola thing? I mean, do you use hand sanitizer? Do you, like, and you know this, we've got two things here. We've got churches and gyms. A lot of people work out. I mean, should they bring a towel? I mean, to wipe off the sweat and that sort of thing? I mean, people wonder.
I think for a lot of good reasons, that's a good idea. You know, when I go to the gym, I'm pretty careful. I carry my little towel around with me and lay it down on the mat. But it's not so much certainly worrying about Ebola. I'm worried about staph, you know, and other common bugs that can sometimes be spread in those kinds of settings. So, yeah, I think people should have their wipes with them. A lot of gyms supply those now for you. And I always shower on my way out, you know, if I can, and, you know, wash my hands, that kind of thing.
Are there any tips like diet or exercise or anything that we should look at? I don't know your thoughts on vitamins as far as decreasing the probability of getting sick.
Yeah, well, I think what you mentioned for all these diseases we're talking about, whether you're talking about flu, enterovirus, we know that the healthier you are, the better you can fight off diseases. So exercise, good diet, you know, not smoking, all those things are going to make it, you sail through most of these illnesses much, much better than if you are, your health is in poor condition. So I think it's all good. You know, I don't propose, you know, any specific high dose vitamins or anything, but certainly taking a daily vitamin and making sure that you're eating those vitamins in your food, which is probably even more important, is a really good idea, especially during, you know, cold and flu season.
Do you expect Ebola to come to Idaho?
You know, I wouldn't say I expect it, but it won't be a surprise if someday we have someone get off a plane. We have travelers every day from, you know, all parts of the world. It won't be a surprise if someday we see something. I hope that this outbreak in Africa gets put under control and we won't ever see a case, but it won't be a surprise if it does. And I'm really happy to see the hospitals preparing for this just in case.
Do you believe we're ready for it as much as we can be?
You know, I think today we still have a ways to go. But I can tell you the hospitals are, as we speak, very actively getting ready. They know they need to be ready. They're watching the situation in Texas very closely, and nobody wants that to happen here with getting healthcare workers exposed.
Dr. Hahn, I know you're busy, but we'd love to have you back, maybe even next week. That'd be huge.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, ma'am. You have a good day.
Sure, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we have it. Dr. Christine Hahn joining us about Ebola. She says, don't be surprised, but the hospitals here are, in fact, doing what they can to prepare.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Say up all night.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to a man who's very real, Jim Gilchrist, the founder of the Minutemen. Jim, good to have you with us again.
Well, welcome to Idaho.
Welcome to the West,
yes. What a transfer.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me on your program, Kevin.
Well, Jim, good to have you with us. And you've been at this for quite some time. You've been vilified by the national press, glorified by people that said, God bless you for standing up for America. Where are we today?
Still in the same tug of war. We have both parties, predominantly almost 100% of the Democratic Party, I will have to say 100% of the Democratic Party, wanting open borders, no immigration law enforcement, to guarantee that they're going to have this prospective voting bloc of tens of millions of voters through amnesty. 5 years after amnesty, they will have citizenship, and along with that will be voting rights. But in all fairness, half the Republican Party is just as horrific on this matter. We have not had a national leader or Congress that has taken the immigration policy of the United States of America or the laws of immigration enforcement seriously since Eisenhower. It's been 1960, 54 years of incrementally worse and worse reckless disregard of our immigration laws, to the point now where about 10% of our population, that's a lot of people, it's over 30 million people, in my opinion, occupy U.S. territory who do not belong here, and they should be repatriated back to their homeland. So that argument is going to continue. The more illegal aliens that get into the United States and take up homestead here, the harder it's going to be to dislodge them and enforce the laws, because by sheer numbers, we will become a nation of mob rule. And that's essentially what we are now. We have a tyrant in the White House, like tyrants before him, who usurp the rule of law insofar as our immigration laws to get their way. It pandered to their party. And we have mob rule. And that's the 30-plus million illegal aliens who somehow have been exalted to almost a celebrity status. Like, they're more important than our combat wounded war veterans coming back from our latest gig and latest war in the Mideast. Something is very, very wrong with that picture. And we need a leader. We really need a leader who's going to say, I'm the president of the United States, and I am going to encourage Congress to aggressively repatriate anyone who is not here legally. We are a nation of laws, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to see to it that we remain a nation of laws. These people are welcome to come back legally. upon our invitation, but they are not welcome to stay here and invite tens of millions more illegally. And that's my point of view. I'm holding the line. I don't care what you call me. I've been called a murderer because I say that. I've been deprived from any further appearances at Columbia University in New York City and any further appearances at Harvard University and Cambridge because what I just told you, they consider is hate speech. Go figure.
That is not good. Jim Gilchrist with us, founder of the Minuteman here at 580KIDO. What do you say to people in Idaho that, you know, they're working hard, they're doing this, they're concerned about the illegals, but they don't understand the consequences, as we've seen in destination states like the American South and in parts of the American West?
Certainly. Actually, every state now in the union, all 50 states, are border states. What has happened to California and where I live? I live 50 miles north of the border, 50 miles north of San Diego. What has happened in California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas is repeating itself in Rhode Island, the smallest state in the country, Maine, the most further north state other than Alaska, certainly Florida. Florida gets a inflow from across the ocean, across the Atlantic, usually, more so than from Mexico. But is every state in the country now, including Idaho, are target states for the dumping of what I refer to as the 21st century slave labor cargo. These are people who are impoverished from all around the world who are marked to market. And somebody who wants them in Boise, Idaho on a farm, and they're willing to pay for that to have them transferred up because it's cheaper to have a slave do your work for hardly any pay, for dirt cheap pay, no medical benefits, no vacation, no employment benefits whatsoever, no pension. And when they get sick, well, go to the county hospital. Let the taxpayers take care of you. When they have children, go to the county human services department. Let them give you food stamps and pay your HUD subsidies for rent. And when they need their children educated or hospitalized, the same thing. Go to the public schools. Let the taxpayers take care of you. And simultaneously, these same slave traders are putting out of work an equal amount of American citizens who otherwise would be holding those jobs with benefits, with a dignified pay, with pension, with vacation time, so on and so forth. And this is something, unless you've actually seen it and you've been a victim by it, sometimes it's difficult to get through to someone, maybe up in Idaho because you're so far away. You're not having the same problem with Canada that we're having with the border with Mexico. It is an open gateway. Come one, come all. Don't worry about any deportation because more likely than not, if you can get into the United States and you're not a murderer or a rapist, you're not going to get deported. And you can have your way with this country. Briefly, the consequence to people in Idaho, for example, while that person who is hiring the slaves, I call them slaves because I think that's essentially a proper category for what's happening and what has been happening over the last four decades. While they laugh all the way to the bank, Kevin, the people that they have put out of work and have dislodged from employment cry all the way to the poorhouse with their family in tow. This is wrong. It is blatantly illegal, and it's continued to be conducted by morally cheap entrepreneurs and ignored by equally morally cheap political governors, people in Congress, presidents, so on and so forth. I'm done with my rant. Do you have a question?
Your rants always are, Jim, your rants are always appreciated. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Jim Gilchrist with us, founder of The Minuteman. How dangerous are the narco-terrorists? Because, you know, a couple years ago, Jim, we had Arizona being under siege, and we're not making this up. There's been published reports of crimes in Phoenix where these narco-terrorists behead people. In Phoenix, Arizona, you have the county where the federal government puts up the sign, don't go in here, we can't guarantee your safety.
That's true. true, and it's been like that for 20 years. Down certain parts of Arizona in Bureau of Land Management governed territory, it's still American territory. It's just the BLM manages it, and they are armed. They're sworn law enforcement officers. The biggest threat to Americans by the narco traffickers, as far as being murdered and shot to death, is with our law enforcement. They will kill without question anybody who confronts them, especially from law enforcement. They see an American deputy or a Border Patrol agent, they're going to murder them if they encounter them, rather than give up their stash or be arrested and detained and have their career in criminal narco trafficking interrupted. We've had several members of law enforcement either shot at or actually murdered by people along that border over the last few decades. In addition, we've had ranchers and farmers, a tourist in Texas at Falcon Lake, shot to death by Mexican narco traffickers from the Mexican side of the border while he's skiing, water skiing, or he was on a Sea-Doo on that lake.
Right, with his wife, right.
Yes, and that murder was never discovered. Mexican detective went to investigate. About 3 days later, he too was found with a bullet in his head. This is the kind of lifestyle you have south of the border. That lifestyle, as the drug trade and the slave trade increases its presence in the United States, and whatever other contraband might pop up, we're going to see more and more of the United States of America, more and more of our communities becoming a mirror image of Mexico. I think we have the law enforcement resources here to put that fire out, but they won't put it out until after it starts. We had that problem in Los Angeles, just north of me, about 15 years ago. There were 20 people a week being murdered in drug wars. Now it's maybe one. But the law enforcement came in from all over the country to put that out, and it took them several years. And that's my take. I see nothing good. I see no betterment in the United States of America by deliberately and recklessly neglecting our immigration law.
Jim, if people want to get a hold of you, what can they do?
Yeah, visit us at MinutemanProject.com. If you want to participate in Operation Normandy, click on the Operation Normandy icon, register yourself as interested in going to the border. Meanwhile, visit us at MinutemanProject.com. And thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.
Take care.
All right, our great friend Jim Gilchrist, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, 580 KIDO. Welcome to Monday. As we get ready for the Manly Man segment. A little cold outside, of course. We'll hear from Larry coming up next hour. And had a weekend filled with some big crashes at Talladega. Also, we had, the situation involving Ebola. They're all free to run wild and free. The relatives of the Liberian man who died. And Dave, would you invite those folks over to dinner?
You know what? I would now. 21 days, they appear to be free of disease, so that's good to know. I mean, you know, that is good news. That's something positive out of this whole thing.
Right, but would you invite him to dinner?
Yeah. I suppose I have nothing in common with them, but yeah, I would think after 21 days, yeah, I'm good.
So you take the government's word that the same government that said, oh, don't worry about anything happening over here. Oh, this is their... It's not contagious, but it is contagious.
I would take medical professionals' opinions on it.
Hmm.
Not necessarily the CDC, not necessarily our government, but I would take the medical world's opinion that after 21 days, that is the standard for that disease, and was before, you know, before the outbreak.
Sure, the same medical folks that said, well, you need to wear this or you need to wear that, the same medical folks that told the Liberian man, just take some Advil. You'll be good to go.
Yeah. Nope, I'd be good with it.
Better you than me, brother. I don't think I'd have them over to dinner. I'd want nothing to do with anybody that had anything to do with anybody with Ebola. Just when we're talking about chances, I just wouldn't want to take a chance and have
it. How about it 22 days?
No, not at all.
23?
Mm-mm.
Never, ever.
Ebola, you got to go.
What a hater. What a hater you are.
I suppose that I am, but we talk about, and I watch the Sunday shows, and it's amazing how political the Democrats are trying to make this. Well, the Republicans cut the budgets. Well, and this is why we can't fight Ebola. Never mind, the president said not to worry. Chances are very low that it's going to come over here. Now that they admit they don't know what they're doing in places like Texas and other spots across the country, and now they're sending these teams. And here's the scary part. Again, I watched all the Sunday shows, every last one of them.
Wow.
And did you know there's only 12 beds in the country? The closest beds to us are three. Not 12 beds in each center, but 12 beds total in a nation of over 340 million people. So if you get Ebola, they're going to send you either to Missoula or Nebraska. But you better get there quick because they only have three beds. And then they were saying, well, chances are we won't need all of them. Really? I think Atlanta's almost up to capacity. They've got two there, or maybe just one. There is no cure for this. They're doing blood transfusions. Of course, if you don't have the same blood type as someone who has survived the Ebola, who knows?
You're out of luck there.
Right. Still, you have people saying we need a travel ban, and now they're saying those evil Republicans.
When do you know of a time where they haven't politicized things lately?
That's what, people always say they need to get along. I truly believe it's not the Republicans, it's the Democrats. And I love how the Democrats, well, this isn't as bad as SARS. Remember SARS? This isn't as bad as SARS.
We don't know that. It's not done yet.
Right. Oh, you remember? Not as bad as SARS. Oh, okay. Sure. And by the way, you're always wanting me to give my unique perspective on life, aren't you?
I think so, yeah.
You always say, well, Kevin, you never tell us anything about yourself. You live a exciting, vibrant, dynamic life. You need to get out and do things.
You do. Get out of the Miller Cave.
Well, I went out of the Miller Cave on Friday. I went to one of those facilities that has the sleep study.
Oh, you went to a sleep study center?
Yes, I did.
What'd they figure out about you?
Well, I think it's all a scam.
Really?
I think the whole thing is a scam, and I'll tell you why. And I won't say which place I went to, just because I think they did an excellent job. But, you always hear about the dangers of sleep apnea and falling mm-hmm. asleep. And I've been having trouble sleeping lately. And a lot of it is attributed to the hours that we work and those sorts of things. So I wanted to make sure I was okay. All right? Because, they always say you need to make sure it's okay. Of course, that helps the big health conglomerates have those wonderful dividends that they report every quarter. People making sure they're okay. So I go in and I'm talking and, they ask questions. Well, we're going to see if you're a good candidate for this. And, okay, do you snore? Okay, I don't know if I snore, but chances are if you snore, you're going to score higher on the test. So you're going to have a greater probability of getting into the sleep study. And it was all based on how you answer these questions. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now,
so did you say yes or no?
Oh, I did. I said, well, I think I have. I'm always worried about snoring.
Because I'm sure Mrs. Miller would probably say yes.
Actually,
does.
She says I don't. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
For all those keeping score at home, so that might invalidate my test. Heaven forbid.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm sitting there talking to the physician's assistant, going back and forth, and then I said, well, okay. There's two types of studies. You can take the at-home one. Or you can take the in-depth one. And who got me into this was Liberal Steve. He swears by it. So I said, okay.
Oh, so this wasn't even a radio station thing?
No.
Oh, wow.
Nothing to do with it. It was this was Liberal Steve saying, hey, it changed my life. I think you should mm-hmm. do this. And I said, okay. And so I go to the place that he recommended. No, it had nothing to do with the radio. See, this is you love this.
I know. Suddenly, I'm very interested.
Life outside the radio. Yeah. So, never mind.
Yeah, let it go. Keep going with the story.
So, hey, buddy. Anyway, so I asked, I said, well, I would like the in-depth study. And they put the electrodes on you. They have the goon squad that watches you. So you know you're okay. They go, no, you need to take the at-home one. And I go, what's the at-home one? There's somebody in my home? No, they put a sensor on your finger and one on your wrist.
Uh-huh.
And I go, well, how extensive is that to the one that I want? Well, you know, insurance companies today are, you know, they're going to make sure that you do this one first. I'm not saying you can't. I said, well, you know, this is a danger to my life because I've heard the propaganda about this. Of course, how did we live so long without the diagnosis of sleep apnea or what have you? And again, to everybody at home at 580KIDO, I'm not saying that the disease isn't real and everything else. I'm just giving you my opinion on this experience. Well, the closest we can get you in is January for the sleep study.
Wow, very busy.
And I go, January? So you're telling me that there's the danger to my life and I can't get in until January. It must not be that big of a deal. Well, how about the at-home, the take-home thing? Well, we can get you in quicker. Okay. Well, I'll take that since, you know, we have to get approval from my insurance company to get the other. But if the one is inconclusive, then chances are you'll get the other one. And I go, oh, that's nice. See, we better get this stuff done now because next year when we're all booted off and we have no insurance, this is what I'm thinking. So,
I gotcha. Okay.
I'm thinking to myself, what a scam the medical industry is. You better get yourself checked. You better do this. Okay, I'm ready to go. And for people like me, it's a big deal to go into a doctor. I don't get flu shots. And they tried to push that one on me, too. And I go, well, I didn't come in for a flu shot. Well, I'm asking you, do you want a flu shot? I go, why would I want a flu shot if I didn't ask for one? Are you trying to upsell me? And it wasn't contentious. I was just thinking, you know, whoop-de-doo. I mean, they put those electrodes in you, and they can track you at any time. Just ask Alex Jones. So, I mean, it was a wonderful experience.
Sounds like it.
This was after the big Chick-fil-A deal, so, you know, I'm all hyped up to begin with. And I'm thinking to myself, so here we have a legitimate medical concern. And what I found out is that your chances go down of being unhealthy if you lose weight.
Well, yeah.
You know, and that's what I was diagnosing things. She goes, do you know what this is? And I go, yes, it happens here. Wow, you're well-researched. Well, no, I've listened to the propaganda for years. So Dave Burnett here at 580KIDO. If this is such a danger, why the long wait?
They're very busy.
Apparently business must be good. You want to get into a gig where you don't need to worry about your job. I'd say go into medicine.
Well, yeah. And as a baby boomer's age, you know, there's just more to be checked, too.
I couldn't believe that, though, man. That was my experience. And then I got sick the rest of the weekend.
Probably from hanging out there.
Still sick today, yes.
Oh, that's good. And then you were in here in my cave.
Of course, I wanted to. Well, you don't fear Ebola.
I'm not afraid of Ebola, but I'm afraid of what you got. You're showing symptoms.
That's the unfortunate thing. You can't even joke about that stuff. Like at church last night, you know, the Catholics, we all shake each other's hands, and I looked at everybody. I really don't like shaking people's hands anyway because, quite frankly, they're coughing, they're doing this, and then I look at them and I go, I don't want to touch you.
Oh, see, I'm that way. I'm kind of that way. I'm not like a full-on germaphobe, but it concerns me.
Well, when someone coughs and they wipe their hand and you're like, you really want me to...
Yeah, I'm not going to shake your hand now, but thanks for asking.
So my new thing is, even when I'm not sick, I'm just going to go, I'm sick.
Oh, I get you.
And they all looked at me like, ugh. And I was going to do the, ha-ha, Ebola, ha-ha. But it's kind of like...
But you can't joke about Ebola. And you can't. It's in poor taste. There's people who are dying from the disease.
That's how people deal with it, and you're right, you can't joke about it. But on the other hand, you know, it's just so, it's just a different society that we've had for, you know, in the last 5 years. We've become so PC, you know what I mean?
I don't even think it's PC. I think it's good taste to not joke about Ebola. I mean, how would you like it if your kid had come home with the letter saying, oh, by the way, little Billy's friend at school has flown on the plane between Cleveland and Dallas? You'd be horrified.
I think there's a lot of liability there with the airlines. I think there's a lot of liability there with the schools. I think there is tons of the hospital, especially. I think there's a ton of money to be made to hold people accountable. especially the airlines.
A ton of money to be made?
Mm-hmm. Sue them.
Oh, I'm sure that'll happen. I'm sure that's coming.
I would sue them. I'd sue that hospital for sure. We didn't know the procedures and that poor nurse. Oh, man. Now, that's not going to bring anybody back, but hold them accountable.
Yeah. No, I think there's serious questions to be asked of the head of the CDC, who's supposed to, I mean, that's a pretty good gig. He's paid pretty good. To then go, oh, we got a mess on our hands. It's like, no, you're supposed to have this under control and figured out before it became a mess. So, yeah, so I think there's some serious questions, and now they put the czar of Ebola in place, which I'm sure he's making pretty good glue, and he has an office, but even still, I mean, what is he going to come out and go, hey, you know what, we passed the 21 days, so we're good to go there. I could do that.
Well, the scary thing about the czar of the Ebola thing is he's a political hack. And did you watch that movie on HBO concerning Gore v. Clinton?
No.
Or Gore v. Bush?
No.
Okay, he's played by Kevin Spacey in it. His name's Ron Klain, and he's a lib political hack from the old days. He was the ground guy, along with Warren Christopher, for Gore in Florida. So his medical background is nothing. And by the way, he doesn't even report directly to the president. So how serious can the president take this if the Ebola czar... By the way, how did we get along without czars for so long?
Hmm. Remember when the president first took over, we had a lot of czars. I don't know if they're still on staff or not, but we had czars for everything. Because some people were going, wait a minute, I thought czars was a Russian thing.
Right, but I mean, I'm just sitting here taking a look at this and thinking to myself, why Ron Klain? He has no medical background. He has no direct line to the president. And now we're going to sit back and, oh, Mr. Klain's going to take care of it. He hasn't talked to the CDC guy. He hasn't talked to, I mean, why not the Surgeon General? Why not somebody who has a medical background?
Exactly. That was my question. Why doesn't the Surgeon General step in here instead of, but they say he's a real go-getter. He's an investigator. So, that, you know, there we go.
Well, he didn't investigate enough for Al Gore. So, you know, any other thoughts about my my experience with the medical community?
I just hope you don't nod off on the show today. That's my concern. That's my main concern, is that you don't nod off on the show.
Look, it's nothing to joke about, but if it's so serious.
Well, I think it's this. I think it's kind of like when you go into the optometrist's office, have you ever looked around and noticed that everyone's wearing glasses or contacts?
Right.
I'm just saying that they're all wearing glasses or contacts. It's like, is there nobody here with good vision? What's the deal here?
Well, my favorite is when you talk to somebody who, you know, is a diet person and they've got a surplus instead of a deficit.
Yeah, that's never good. For me to be a consultant for a dietitian, not good idea. Yeah. Not good. Kevin, that traffic now is your...
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. It is 5:59. Time to get rolling, everyone. 5:59 coming up. Are we doing enough to protect you from Ebola? Think about that as we roll. And is it a matter of when, not if, we should look at a travel ban from those to those countries and from those countries that have the Ebola virus? We'll talk about those stories and more next. 580 KIDO.
Serving Meridian.